to go. Thank you. I'd like to welcome you all to the meeting this afternoon. And again, hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence, flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make. Councillor King.
Chair, I just want to declare an interest on number item 17, item 21, and item 28 as well. I sit on the planning committee, so it would probably be best for myself to remove myself from the room at that time.
Mr. King, I'm advised it's up to the member to make that decision himself. So, yes, thank you for that.
Yes, so, yeah, thank you.
17.
Yes.
Chair, can I declare an interest in item 16?
Executive. And I'd like to declare an interest in item number 8. So, thank you. Apologies.
Councillor Devlin.
The procurement manager, Shona McConnell, also an apology.
Okay, thank you, members. Moving on then, we've got the declarations of interest. Item number 3 is the action sheet for the audit committee held on the 22nd of September, 1st of February, and also we had a special audit committee which is included within that action sheet as well. So we take it page by page for accuracy. So we take page 1, the 22nd of September. And if you have any comments that you'd like to speak, please let me know. Okay, that's page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Okay, members, we'll move to proposer and seconder to approve those action points, please.
Happy
to say. Okay, members, moving on to item number 4, which is to agree the date and start times for the meetings in, would you believe, 24-25. So, members, if you would, you see the dates and times there in front of you. If members are happy to progress with that, you get a proposal and a seconder to approve. So no comments, so we'll take a proposal seconder, please. Councillor O'Hare. Seconder, Councillor King. Thank you. Okay, members, item number 5 is the... Councillor.
Just a quick one. When I look at the proposed start times, I'm assuming MS Teams is no longer an option.
Director.
At this point in time, it's not. We need to change the legislation. That. Members need to be in the council, or indeed anybody speaking needs to be in the chamber. But if there is any change in legislation, then thank you for pointing that out.
Okay, thank you, Director. Item number 5, then the Audit Committee Terms of Reference and Timetable. I think Gerard is going to take us through this report. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, every year then we update the terms of reference in line with best practice, and that's a SIPA best practice document. So Appendix 1 highlights the revised terms of reference, and any of the significant changes have been highlighted in yellow text, but it's really all in relation to ethics and raising concerns and some internal audit assessments, both internal and external. Appendix 2 then highlights the timetable for the Audit Committee for the year ahead. So we'll have a number of standing agenda items at every audit committee, and then for each committee, we have a number of ad hoc items. So it really lays out the structure of the year ahead. So members are asked to approve the terms of reference and to note the timetable for the year ahead. And I'm happy to take any questions members have.
Thank you, Gerard. Members, any questions? Okay. Just take a proposal and seconder to approve. So Brennan, propose. Second, thank you. Item number six, members, is in relation to the Audit Committee self-assessment, and this is an annual assessment we do of the effectiveness of the Audit Committee. You will recall that a checklist was sent out to each of you for a comment, if you had any comments. And we've changed from the previous one that we used to the SIPFA self-assessment of good practice, which is more up-to-date self-assessment. So members, based on that, there were a few key issues, as you can see in the report that I have listed, that we might like to consider going forward. The first three you'd be very familiar with from previously. We're looking at continuity of elected members on the committee, which naturally would lend itself to more knowledge and skills sitting on the audit committee, but that's for members to decide, obviously, on an annual basis. Then obviously training, and we will keep training. We continue to train as we progress. And then members in relation to, or the officers in relation to the reports coming through to the audit committee, to make sure we get those out on time, that you have plenty of time to digest those and consider those for the meeting. A further two that were raised, Gerard will have referred already to the item in relation to the terms of reference, just bringing it up to date, which he kindly has done, so thank you for that. And also we were to consider how the committee adds value to the organisation. Indeed it does, I believe it does, and I'm sure you'd agree. However, look at other ways that we could do this in the future, and perhaps officers could maybe look at that going forward to see if there are any other ways potentially. This is a comprehensive checklist. The comprehensive report came from SIPFA, which I read from cover to cover, but maybe I could talk to the officers about that going forward and see if there's anything we can bring. So members just asked to approve the contents of the report. Thank you. Or any questions, of course.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Seconder then, members. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. Next item on the agenda is number seven, and that's the update of members' interest, and I'll ask Josephine here to take that.
Thank you, Chair. You'll be aware, members, and this is a regular report that comes to this committee. Councillors have the responsibility to keep council up to date on any register of members' interests, and that was agreed at the Audit Committee in January. This should come forward as a regular report. Today, we're just looking, members, to note the six-month review report.
Questions, members? We need a proposal seconder to note the report, please. Thank you. Councillor O'Hare, thank you. Okay, members. Item 8 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information. So could we have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please? Mr. Hannan and seconded by Mr. Brown. Thank you. Okay. I'll hand you over to the director.
Item 8, the annual assessment of chairperson's performance. On the proposal of Councillor Hannan and seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to note the assessment of chairperson's performance.
Okay, thank you, Director, for that. Okay, members, we now move on to item number 9, which is the corporate risk register and the corporate services register as well. Okay, if I could ask the Director to take that item. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We have in front of you here the senior management team. We have reviewed the corporate risk register, and you can see details of the corporate risk register. There is also the summary, which shows the overall scores, the gross score and the revised risk score, having taken a number of actions and having controls in place. The on the whole, the assessment of risk is at a similar level to the last time that we met. The only area that has reduced is the risk number 11, the risk of industrial action, as we now, since the last meeting, have an agreement in place and we're moving forward with an industrial relations framework. So that's the corporate risk register. It is the practice that at each meeting that one of the directorate risk registers comes forward to the committee for scrutiny. This time it's corporate services that is attached. So I'm going to leave it there, and if there are any questions,
Jarvan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Appendix 3, the Corporate Services Summary item, the CSO1, the risk of breaching information governance rules and regulations. Apologies if I have missed this within any of the other appendix. It is an extremely long agenda and a lot of papers to digest, but in the comments it states the risk score has been increased and actions have been updated. Can we get an explanation of the reason why the risk score has been increased and what that relates to? And was there a particular event that has caused that to go up?
So I'm going to hand over to the officer with responsibility.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the member for the question. We aligned the risk score with our IT analysis. So all staff are required to complete mandatory training, and we looked at the outworkings of that and determined that the risk score should be aligned.
Follow-up question then, and we all got an email this week for security mandatory training. I'm sure we've all eagerly went and completed it. But I take it we had talked about doing a league table, I think was the terminology, of particular functions within the organisation, and even councillors being included, because we are expected to complete that as well. Is that still planned? You know, sometimes even in my own work, we're shown so much percent of this department has completed their training, and sort in a wrong way maybe shames people to go quickly and complete it. But are we doing something? Is that part of the action plan to address this?
Yes, councillor. I've seen the reports in detail, and we have to be careful as far as names. But we are looking at departments. I will be bringing forward a report to the senior manager. Share that with the relevant committee. There are there have been deliberate, and when we do training, we also there are emails that go into the system that have been organised by the IT department to see how people respond, and some people use their they should do, which is delete and report it. Other people open it, and then the attachments, etc. So, and there's a variety of things that go on. This is an area that you must keep training on, because you just have to be so blunt. So the score has been up for that reason, but there is training being organised for people that do click on things. So a lot of it is purely by accident, but we have to all remain vigilant. Yes, I have personally seen the report, but looking to summarise it by department and by area, so that we all keep our training up.
Any other questions, members? I have a question myself in relation to the reports that we've received from ASM, namely in relation to the planning, the compliance, and the contract management. And having read those reports and considered those, my question to management is, would you think that there should be any reflection of those in the risk register? For example, I know there's a second risk register, there's non-compliance of legislative requirements. Would it be time to consider having a separate risk committee to health and safety and those other compliance controls that are to place for fire, asbestos and Legionella, and also in relation to the not to get into any of the particular issues at this juncture because we will be discussing them later, but around the planning as well. And just that's my question to management, please.
The risk register is a live document. Now we've got these finalised reports, and the risk register was looked at a point in time. What we will do is senior management and look to see whether we need to change the score, we need to put other controls in place, look at the actions of coming out of these internal audit reports, and see whether we actually need to identify a standalone risk. So we will take that away as an action, bring that back to the senior update the.
Thank you, Director. Okay, members, if there are no further questions, could we have a proposer and seconder to approve this register? Proposed by Councillor Harry, seconded by Councillor Hannan. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 10, which is prompt payments. I'm going to ask Jared to take this report, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, it's just the quarterly update. So, if you look at section 2.5 in the report, it details the quarter four statistics. So, you can see 96% of invoices are paid within 30 days and 51% were paid within 10 days. And our average number of days to pay suppliers was 16. So, that leaves us for the average for the year for 23-24 of 95% within the 30-day period, which is our terms and conditions, and you can see the trend there, so it is increasing, and I think our new system demonstrates that it is working, and it has improved how fast we pay our suppliers. So happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Jared. Members, questions? Just a quick question from me, Jared, if I may. Under 2.5, the last quarter there, the performance trend is showing is steady, or I can't remember the arrows, neither up nor down, it's horizontal.
Yes, it's steady because it's at 96%. We that's our trend because that's what the department has set, or DFC has set the 30 days as a target, and that's what we statutorily have to pay our suppliers by. So although there is other statistics there, we generally go with the 30 day as our trend.
Thank you. Okay, members, could I get a proposer and seconder to note the report, please? Thank you, Councillor Brennan. Councillor Sharman, sorry. I was looking directly. No comment. Thank you. Item number 11, members. Could I ask Catherine to take this, please?
Thank you, Chair. So the draft performance improvement objectives 24-25 were considered and agreed by SPNR committee in April. Four of the five objectives were carried over from the previous year, and one was amended to better reflect the economic development programme we now have in place, the Go Succeed, and to also align more with the proposed draft corporate objective that's currently out for consultation. Committee also agreed the proposed approach and timetable for publishing the PIP, which included the commencement of the consultation on the 19th of April, and that will go until the 31st of May. I'm happy to take any.
Thank you, Catherine. Members, any questions? No? Okay, members, if we could have our proposer and seconder to note the report, please.
I'll hit my mic and say proposer, isn't it?
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor King, thank you. Members, items number 12 to 28 need to go into closed session. So they are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information. Could I have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please? Mr. O'Hare, thank you. Mr. Harry, thank you. Back on what happened during closed business. Item 12, update and audit recommendations to include the risk profile. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Brennan, it was agreed to note the update in relation to legacy audit recommendations. Item 13, direct award contracts. On the proposal of Councillor Brennan, seconded by Councillor Harry, it was agreed to note the quarter four update in relation to single tender actions with an action plan to be brought back to the September Audit Committee. Item 14, procurement action plans. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, it was agreed to note the update in relation to procurement action plans for each directorate. Item 15, update on fraud and whistleblowing. On the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor King, it was agreed to note the update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases, note the National Fraud Initiative, note the progress and actions arising from the internal fraud risk self-assessment and approved provisions to the fraud policy and the response plan. It was also agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor Sherwin, that report be brought back to SPNR regarding an issue with a repayment under the COVID-19 revitalisation scheme. Item 16, update on Kilbroney patches. On the proposal of Councillor Hare, seconded by Councillor King, was agreed that the matter was closed and that no further independent audit services are engaged on this issue. Item 17, planning update per action sheet. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Brennan, it was agreed to note the contents of the report and that officers continue to table quarterly reports to update members on progress or otherwise against actions as contained in the officer's report. Action or item 18, recruitment update per section sheet, the same as under 17. Item 19, letter to NIAOE NCCR on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hannan, agreed to note the following response to the complaint for response to be issued shortly after the audit committee. The notice of motion was discussed at SPR on 16 May 24, and a further debate was agreed that the project should continue in line with the outlying business case and also in line with the other recommendations made at the SPR as noted in the officer's report. When the full business case is completed for the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project, the updated project at capital cost will go to the Programme Board, the SPR Committee, and then to full council for approval. Item 20, Audit Strategy 23-24, on the proposal of Councillor King, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, it was agreed to note the contents of the Audit Strategy for 23-24. Item 21, covering 24-28, ASM Summary Report. On the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the ASM summary report, including absence management review, contracts management review, the council's compliance checking, facilities review, labour market partnership review, planning review of overturned decisions. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, that the recommendations contained within the ASM summary report regarding planning review of overturned decisions be tabled at party reps forum. Item 22, ASM Annual Assurance Report 23-24, on the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor Herbert, was agreed to approve the ASM Annual Assurance Report 23-24. And item 23, Internal Audit Plan 24-25, on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hannan, is agreed to accept the Internal Audit Plan 24. And that, members and officers, brings us to the end of the Audit Committee. And thank you very much for staying with me through that whole over 2.5 hours jaunt through the agenda. So thank you. See you next time.